I want to share with you a word that God has spoken much to me, and we've heard often in this church, but I don't know how many of us take it really seriously. We read it very casually and we do not really obey what is there. I'm looking at Romans, if you've turned with me to Romans. Romans 12, 1 and 2 I have on my heart. Plus a whole host of other scriptures I feel that could really ignite in our hearts a love for God and giving Him what He deserves in this one life that we have on earth. Not just believing in Him, not just giving our hearts to Him and or giving Him money. He doesn't want all that. Or even praise Him, worshiping Him, and all that is good. But this is what He asked for, and the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, tells us. Says, I urge you, Romans 12, 1. But before that, you know, in verse 11, it says, that last verse there, you should read it in context. This is an unfortunate chapter divisions. You know, chapter divisions are not inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this is one of the unfortunate ones. It says in verse 36, even before that, over the depth, verse 33, of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor? Who was first given to Him that it might be paid back to Him? Paid back to Him again. For from Him, verse 36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. You want to worship God? God, the Holy Spirit tells us how we can do it in reality. This is the worship that is acceptable to God. You want to give something to God? God says, you want to give me something? You want to present something to me? I don't want your offerings. I don't look for your praise, though we praise Him, and I don't even look for your worship. I want your love. I want you to give me as a love gift your body. That is what God is saying. And then, you know, it says, I urge you by the mercies of God. When you think of all the mercies, we spoke just now about the mercies of God that we receive new every morning. Every morning that we get up, we are breathing, that we have sufficiently good health. All the other things are trivial. The aches, the pains, and all the other things that come along as we live our life on the earth, as we get older. So many things. But so many mercies. He says, in the view of all the mercies that you have received, present your bodies. You want to give me a gift? God says, give me your body. Present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. It says well-pleasing, something that's well-pleasing. This is the worship that is so well-pleasing in God's eyes. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, these days there's so much talk and speculation, you know, about third physical temple, that is time the temple is going to be rebuilt. And people are so occupied, so many theories and philosophies they come up with. They say that even the stones are already ready, and this is the time now, the last days, and so the temple is going to be built, a physical temple, and then only Jesus will come. I don't believe that. Because, you know, when the disciples, we're not looking for a physical temple. I hope you're not. And when the disciples were so taken up with the beauty of the temple of those days, they pointed out the stones and everything was so beautiful, so awesome. It took 46 years for them to build it. 46 years. And Jesus said, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. You know that that is the statement, that is the claim that he made, that incensed all the religious people. They were enraged. It took us 46 years to build this, and you're going to destroy it and build it in 3 days? And that was even at his trial, that is the allegation they brought against him. They said it's blasphemy. But it says that he was speaking about the temple of his body. And that he has done for us. Destroy this temple and I will raise it up. And that's what he says to me and you. Destroy all that is physical and material, and I will raise up a building for God. I will make you part of a building for God, which can never be destroyed. When everything else is going to be shaken, this will not be shaken, because this is not of man. It's not created and built by man. This is of God. And it says, we see this word in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. I hope you bring your Bibles with you. And don't be looking at your mobile. You will get so much if you have the written Bible before you. Thank God that we have the Bible. We just recently celebrated the man who was responsible for giving us the printed word. How thankful we must be. We are a privileged generation. I don't know if you realize that. We are a privileged generation. We have the printed word, so many versions, so many translations. So good. Have it in your mobile and look at it whenever you have free time. But to have the Word of God printed, and when, especially when you come to church, when you come to the meetings. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Here are some words that we should be taking seriously. And it begins with these words, do you not know, the Holy Spirit says. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Have you stopped and paused and thought about that? Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? We're not looking for any physical temple. And all that goes on in evangelical Christian believer circles, it's just wasting your time. It's a lot of all these preachers that speak about the temple of the last. This is the temple. This is God's temple. Do you not know, my brothers and sisters, your body, you young people, your body is the temple of God. It's awesome. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. Think about it. body is a temple of God. It should bring a great fear in us how we keep these bodies and how we present them to God. If any man destroys the temple of God, it says, goes on to say, God will destroy him. But the temple of God is holy. And that is what you are. Take it seriously, my dear brothers and sisters, more than anything else. I've taken it seriously. And I say, I pray and cry out to the Lord, I don't want to defile this temple, and if anything I do or say has defiled this temple, immediately to go to God and ask Him to cleanse us. Because God says, if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. And you young brothers, you young men, you don't even think of this. You say you've given your life to Jesus, you're born again. Do you not think of this, that when you turn to those pornographic sites, what are you doing? Do you not fear this word? You sisters, you may not be addicted to pornography. I don't know what it is that you're tempted to in the areas of sex and whatever. Do we not think that I am destroying the temple of God, at least from this moment? You young men, you young brothers, take this seriously and ask God. If you have the Holy Spirit is in you to help you to run away from that computer, from that laptop, and not defile your body, because God says, if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Are those light words, my brothers and sisters? We take it lightly. We look at all these, even these ads that come on TV, you're watching the news. Turn your eyes away. Get up and leave that place. Run away. These are days that we must really be in that number that God is gathering together, who have given not just their hearts and their lives to Him, but have given Him their bodies. And I want to ask you, my dear brothers, you say you are following Jesus. Have you given Him, have you presented your body to Him as a living, holy sacrifice? You sisters, in the way you dress, that no part of your body is exposed to tempt others. You are careful when you come to church, but what about when you go to work? In any seductive way. We are living in evil days. Whether you come to church or go to work, and you go for some event, to make sure that in no part of your body you are defiling yourself. We must not defile our bodies by the lust of the eyes, especially for young men, young brothers, by dirty, filthy thoughts and any immoral practices. Think of it. Pornography, watching blue films, and you think nobody's watching. You're destroying your body. And God says, those who destroy the temple of God, God will destroy them. The love of the world, that's why it says, do not be conformed to the world. Immediately after that, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where the battle begins. Let your mind be renewed by the Holy Spirit, then you will find it's easier to give your body to God. I can say that before God, that is living. Let your mind be renewed by the Holy Spirit and you will get victory over pornography. Let Him take control of your mind. You will not want to turn to those sites. Oh, you say, oh, brother, it's so difficult. For many years I've been addicted to pornography. Married men who are addicted to pornography and they don't take it seriously. We are living in days. Don't think that when Jesus comes, you're going to be suddenly taken up. There has to be this power within you, which I will show you from the scriptures, that will lift you up. Automatically, it will not happen. You watched pornography all your life. And if you repented of it and you've been cleansed, praise the Lord. But if you still continue to be conformed to the world and not let the Holy Spirit renew your mind, then you're in a very dangerous situation. We have to give our bodies to God as a dwelling place. He promises, there are promises both in the Old and the New Testament, the new, Old and New Covenants. He's not looking for real estate to build a dwelling place for himself. He's not looking for a temple to be built in Jerusalem, whatever that may be for the Jews. But we are called, we are the Gentile bride of Christ. He wants a body. He wants a bride who will give herself completely, who has given her body completely to him. So he dwells in us. He dwells in the bride of Christ. He's not looking for some little place of land that's occupied by somebody else and that has to be demolished for something else. He's not interested in any real estate here on this earth. Everything belongs to him. Why would he want some place where you can build an ornate building with precious stones and cover it with gold? Is God going to dwell there? There's only one place, as we see in scripture, where he says he will dwell, and that is in these bodies. No other place. He's looking for us who are his blood-bought sons and daughters. Not just that we give ourselves, we serve him, we do all kinds of things, we sacrifice, and we serve others, we share what we have with others. All that is good. But he's in the business of enlisting men and women of courage and strength, like Gideon with his 300 men, whittled down from 10,000 to 300, who gave their bodies. Think of these people now with this war going on, who have just given their bodies. They're deceived. They think that, you know, if they get killed in this war, they will enter into paradise and all that rubbish that they believe in. Devil has just deceived them. But if they can have that zeal, my dear brothers and sisters, they don't fear for their lives. We should be ashamed. We should really hang our heads in shame. They are willing to just go and whatever happens, get blown up and get killed, because they think they'll go right into God's presence and all the stuff the devil has brainwashed them to believe. What a shock they will get when they get up to heaven. They will not get up to heaven, but when they leave this earth, there's no heaven for such people. But if these people can be so zealous to give their lives, how about you and me, my brothers and sisters, with awesome promises that God has given us? That he says that he will dwell in us, he will live in us. I hope we will take it, at least from today, that we will be like Gideon's 300 men. We have the light within us. The light, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Think of it, that God lives in us, dwells in us. So that's why the Holy Spirit says to Paul, I urge you, brethren, present your bodies as a living holy sacrifice. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, you young men, you young brothers, let your mind be renewed to forsake pornography. Finish with it. Be gone, you unclean thing. That's what you should say. Throw away those magazines. Throw away those books. Stop looking at blue films. Stop turning to sites in your mobile because nobody else is looking. You know what you're doing. You're destroying your body. And I urge you with all of my heart, I've taken it seriously through the years as I got light, that I said this is what God wants. He wants my body more than anything else, not my ministry, not if I am giving up my job. All that is not what He's looking for. He wants me to give my body if I am to serve Him. Now I hope that you young brothers, you are the ones in this generation that will count for God. Give your bodies to God. It says in the Message Bible, I like to read that, of this Romans 12, 1 and 2. So it says here, listen to it. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without thinking. Peter on the day of Pentecost in the Message Bible, you know, when he said, which says there are many other words, he kept on exhorting them, be saved from this perverse generation. Kept on exhorting them. And I believe that's gone on, not just around when Peter spoke. The Holy Spirit through these 2,000 years keeps on exhorting us, be saved from this perverse generation. The Message Bible paraphrases, get out of this sick culture. Get out of this sick culture. Whatever culture, Western, Eastern, Telugu, Malayali, Anglo-Indian, Tamil, get out of this sick culture. That's the call through the generations. And be separate. Be a people for God's own possession, whom God could hold up. These are my people. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. I covet that. And I pray that you will also do it. It says there, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You know, that happens. In different times, you know, particularly with relatives, particularly when there are events, whether it's weddings or whatever it is, whatever celebrations, very easy to slip into that culture. But if you are willing to, I don't believe that we stick out like Pharisees. No, but you know, to compromise what you are convicted and you believe in. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. This is a message I'm reading. You will be changed from inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. That's what the culture around you, whatever culture, it drags us down to immaturity. It's a big hindrance from us becoming mature and spiritual. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. God, that's what God wants to do. He wants you to grow. There's a growth that comes from God, but your culture and whatever you hang on to drags you down. Recognize that, my brothers and sisters, and be free from it. And then go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. See, this is the burden of the Holy Spirit. Three times he comes in, he says to us, he says to this church, because particularly to this church, and it's for all of us, not just for the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 6:15-20. Verse 15. Do you not know? There it is again. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? He's talking about immorality there. And that's the culture we are living in today. You know, you're fed up with your wife, you can get another one. And then not even that, you can keep the same one and sleep with others. That is what happened in the Corinthian church. And that's the culture we're living in. So we have to be alert. He says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know? There's that word again. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. So if you're unfaithful to your wife, or if you are living an immoral life, you become one flesh with that woman you're fooling around with, or that man you're fooling around with. Flee immorality, not just run, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. But the one who joins himself to the Lord, listen to this, I've always, you know, many times that's come to me, I said, Lord, this is what I want. The one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. You become one spirit with Jesus. It's a wonderful thing to be one spirit with Jesus. And here's the word again. Oh, do you not know? This is the Holy Spirit emphasizing how careful we should keep our bodies. Do you not know? Four times, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. Your body does not belong to you. Your body belongs to the one who redeemed you, who paid a price for you. Otherwise, you'll go straight to hell. If he didn't take your place on the cross, if he didn't pay the price for you and for me, we would go straight to hell. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be part of the kingdom of God. We don't deserve to be part of God's family. Don't ever think, my brother, sister, I lived quite a good life. And I repented of all my sins. That's good. And I put things right. That's good. And I keep my heart pure. That's good. And I'm keeping my body for God to live in. That's good. I still don't deserve to be in God's family. I deserve hell. When I think back, and you think back of the sins and the things of how we use our bodies, I deserve hell. But God in His mercy has bought me and bought you with a price. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. Take this seriously, my dear brothers and sisters. Coming to this church and listening to the messages, we had powerful messages. We have someone like Brother Zach, and I was looking at all these false preachers and prophets and all kinds of things that are going on today. I was so thankful. The you may come across it on the internet. You can go. It is the 50 most evil Christians in the world. Preachers. The 50 most, and there are more than 50 evil Christians in the world, and there are clips of their ministry. I don't judge them, but I'm warned, and I just thank God when I saw all that. I said, Lord, I thank you for somebody like Brother Zach. I thank you that I have been with him 48 years. I thank you for CFC. I thank you for what we have heard. How thankful, how grateful are you, my brothers and sisters? Tell me, in which church will you hear these things apart from all the other mundane things that is preached today about giving your body to God and giving yourself completely to glorify God in your body? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. A great price has been paid for you. My brother, sister, be thankful. Fall on your face. Say, Lord, thank you. You bought me with a price. The price of your lifeblood that you shed for me. Cleanse me from sin. You young people, you young brothers and sisters, concerned about you, that you get sucked up into your culture and compromise, and you cannot count for God. May God help us. I hope that we will take it seriously. I want you to turn to a wonderful word in Isaiah 66. See, not only Romans, what we looked at, 12, but in Isaiah 66, and verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. It says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? I was saying to you earlier, God is looking, not looking for real estate to build a house for himself. He doesn't want... Everything on this earth is his. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And you're looking to build a dwelling place for me? Under the old covenant, before Jesus came, it was different, but that is not really, that's where God met with him. It's not God's dwelling place. There was a mercy seat and God met with Moses there and spoke to him there. But this is what he says under the old covenant. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things. Thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But to this one I will look. Pay attention, my brothers and sisters. But to this one I will look. It's not just, Lord, I give you my body. Here's it, take it. No, there's certain requirements. If I'm to give him my body, I can't just say, Lord, okay, you said you'll dwell in my body. Here's it, take it. No, but to this one I will look. To him who is humble. That's the first requirement. To him who is humble, humble of heart and contrite of spirit. It's not just feeling sorry for our sin, but a brokenness that every time I slip up, I fall or fail. I'm so sensitive and quick, contrite of spirit, and who reads my word, who meditates on my word? What is it? Who trembles at my word? That really spoke to me. Who trembles at my word? Particularly if I'm not taking sin seriously. But when I slip up and fall, and when I was listening to today's devotion, I think, when Brother Zach was asking, you know, when was the last time did you say sorry? You senior brothers, some of you elders, when was the last time did you say sorry to another brother? I don't think I would, and I have to think and think. You know, I have to tremble at God's word. And that is what God says, to this one I will look. One who is humble, who's quick to say sorry, not just say sorry, but to feel sorry. Say, when was the last time you said sorry to your wife, or your husband, or your children, or to a brother or sister in the church? I hope you don't have to think too hard. I don't tremble at God's word if I have to be thinking. I don't take it lightly. I don't tremble at God's word. I am not humble. We've heard that the three laws, humility, humility, humility. Seek for more humility. If I'm humble and I'm going down and down, I will be quick to apologize. I'll be quick to say sorry and ask for forgiveness. And many other things. To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit. A brokenness that must come. I should not sin and think, oh yeah, it's okay, I can go. And before I go to bed tonight, I'll ask Jesus to forgive me and cleanse me. I don't tremble at God's word. I've heard this, but still I take sin so lightly. Oh, it's okay. I'll say sorry to my wife before she goes to bed. Or I'll say sorry to my husband before he goes to bed. Live in the fear of God, my brothers and sisters. Tremble at his word. And God says, to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, who trembles at my word. At least from today, apart from reading and meditating, to tremble at God's word. That every time you slip up in speech and you've said something and then the Holy Spirit says, no, you could have said that in a better way. To the one who works in your home, to the maid who helps you, who helps us. God has convicted me many times there. You could have said that in a better way. Okay, you have to correct them. But you could have said it in a better way. And I just brush it off. No, anyway, she has to do her job. I have begun to, these little things, to tremble at God's words. My brothers and sisters, no, it's okay. You know, if somebody is working under you in the office and you have to correct them and you do it in a harsh way, you think, no, I have to put that person in his place. He deserves to be put in his place or her place. And the Holy Spirit tells you afterwards, is that the way you do it? Even though you're a boss, or even though you have authority, you can do it a better way. Many times I hear those words. You can have said it in a better way. You can do it in a better way. And if I'm living like that, I've begun to know what it is to tremble at God's word. So not just don't be satisfied and pat yourself on the back that you read God's word every day and you take time to meditate. Good. Do one more thing, at least from today. Tremble at his word, my brothers and sisters. I'm not telling you something that I've not taken seriously. I seek to tremble at his word. And when I don't, and I take something lightly, whatever it may be trivial, I seek to go and humble myself before God and ask his forgiveness. And if I have to ask forgiveness from somebody else, make sure that I do it. See again, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verses 14 to 15. Isaiah 57, 14 to 15. And verse 14, it says, it will be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstacle out of the way of my people. For thus says the high and exalted one who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. Two places where God says he dwells. I dwell with the high I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. These are the only places that God says He will dwell. Not in some physical building that, you know, man wants to make for Him. Yeah, Isaiah 57, if you can look at it and read it slowly there. Verses 14 and 15, and then 17. Yeah, verse 15. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order, I hope this encourages you, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. You want a revival? This is what God says. If you're humble and contrite, He will come to dwell in you. For what? To revive you. To revive the spirit of the lowly, that's the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry. For the spirit will grow faint within me. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry and struck him. I hid my face and was angry, and I went on turning away in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways. Here's a word for all of you, for anyone here who are living in a backslidden state. Here's a word to encourage you. I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. Does that encourage you? Not I will put you down, I'll punish you, I'll send you to hell. I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners, creating the praise of lips, peace. Peace to him who is far, to him who is far, and to him who is near, says the Lord. And I will heal him. Dear brother, dear sister, dear friend, that is our God. I will heal him, not only come to live in you, I will revive you. I will do something in you. I will revive you. I will heal you. I've seen your ways, God says. I will heal you. The wicked reject that, it says, they're like the tossing sea. Isn't that wonderful? That this awesome God, the one who has created the universe, the one who has created everything around us, all creation is created by Him, and He's created us, should say, I want to live in your body. Give me your body and see what I will do. Don't give it over to sin. I will revive you. I will heal you. I will heal you. That's what the Lord says. And I hope anyone here living in a backslidden state would take this as a word from God. Don't say, no, it's been like this so long. I've been defeated by this sin and there's no hope for me. Believe God's word, my brothers and sisters. God says, I will heal him. I have disciplined you, but now I've seen your ways. And I will heal you. Just give your body to me. Just give yourself to me. And that's what David the psalmist, that was his hope when he turned to God, when he sinned. And he thought there would be no hope for him. And he wrote Psalm 51, the psalm of repentance. Against you and you only have I sinned, O Lord, he said. And then he says, you don't delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Hear that, my brothers and sisters. If we have sinned, if you have sinned, turn to God. He is there looking for you. Not just to welcome you with open arms, but he wants to come inside you, to live in you, so that he can revive you. That should bring hope to the most wicked man. I've seen your ways, but I will heal you. I will heal you, the Lord says. And for all backsliders, always think of that. Come back to God. And don't just come back to him. Say, Lord, I give you my body. I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. You do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it, David says. You're not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So let us seek after these three requirements that God wants. Humility. Zephaniah 2:3. You know, if you turn there. I don't know, that word came to me when I was thinking of this war that is going on there. But turn to the book of Zephaniah. You know, that's towards the end. Hosea, you want to turn from Hosea onwards. Habakkuk and Zephaniah. You got it? Zephaniah chapter 2. Now, I don't know about this, you know. I'm not looking for what is there in verse. It says, Gaza will be abandoned. A lot of things happening in Gaza. Verse 4, for Gaza will be abandoned, and Ashkelon a desolation. These are all that's what's going on, this war now in Israel. Ashdod will be driven out at noon. Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast. But what God spoke to me and caught my attention is verse 3. Verse 3, and I want to leave this with you. Seek the Lord, the Lord said. That's what the Lord said. Don't worry about all this. You know, this is what I should be concerned about. Whether I'm seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth. We have just talked about humility, where God is going. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his ordinances. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Seek humility. Seek the Lord, all you humble of the earth, who have carried out his commandments. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. And keep on seeking humility. And God will preserve us. And he will be our refuge. And have a contrite spirit, tremble at his word. So I don't have to be taken up with all the prophecies. Now what's happening? Is it there? Where does it come in the Bible? So God says, no, seek the Lord, seek me, all you humble of the earth. You want to seek something, not what is going on, where this comes in, or is this being fulfilled in our days. You waste your time. Seek righteousness, seek humility. The Lord says, all those who are humble of the earth, and always keep a sensitive conscience, a sensitive spirit. And one last word in John chapter 14. And here, you know, it is so powerful there that we see really what God wants. John 14, Jesus says there, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose or reveal myself to him. We get revelation if we keep his commandments. And before that, he says, I will give you the Holy Spirit. I'll not leave you alone. I'll not leave you to struggle and strive. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself to him. If you're not getting revelation on God's word, my brothers and sisters, it means you're not seriously taking the commandments of Jesus to obey him. Because if you are doing that, he has promised to reveal himself to you. And then in the next verse, in verse 23, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, listen to this, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Isn't that beautiful? We will come and make our home with him, Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, coming to make their home in these bodies of ours. Does it make you take you back with awe? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, if I keep the commandments of God, if I keep Jesus' commandments, not only he reveals himself to us, he says, the Father and me will come and make our home within you. Do you want that, my brothers and sisters? These are the people that God is preparing who will be lifted up when he returns. How wonderful, isn't it? How glorious our Savior's love. Not only forgiving us our sins and cleansing us, looking at us as if we had not sinned, but coming to live within our bodies. Give your body, present your body to him as a living sacrifice. Let this all-powerful, mighty God, our Father, let him come and make home within your body, within my body. And there's a mighty power within us that will raise us up when Jesus comes, even before others and those who are left back who did not take his word seriously. And I believe that's the call of God today, my brothers and sisters, for us who have really taken our lives seriously. Let us seek to be humble. Let us seek to have a contrite heart. Let us keep the commandments of Jesus and tremble at his word. Then we will have a mighty power within us that we can live for God every day. And that is God's will. So I hope you see that that is what God is looking for. I urge you, my brethren. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, present your bodies. He'll come and clean up. And the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would come and live within us. Live within your body and live within my body. I praise the Lord for that. What a wonderful love the Savior has, that he has bought me so that he can come and make home with me. This is his real estate. Your body, my body. This is where he's going to make his temple. And I know he's made his temple already in mind. Has he done that for you? Your body is the temple of God. Seek God. Seek humility. Seek to have a broken spirit. Seek righteousness. Seek to live humbly. And it'll be a wonderful day when Jesus comes, that we can rise up to meet him, and our bodies are changed in a moment because we have already given it to him. He's already made a home within us. I hope God speaks to you, that you will, your life takes a different direction, at least from today. And just give Him, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let's pray.